On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Thank you, Alice. Brilliantly read. Let's pray as we begin to reflect on this a little bit more. Lord Jesus, we so want to have the same boldness and the same experience of prayer, which brings us alive, which fills us up with such clear direction, such clear understanding and closeness to you. And so, Lord, as we reflect on this for ourselves, would we hear you speaking so clearly to us about how we can experience new depths of our relationship with you through prayer. And Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. So, a prayerful community, a community who are following Jesus, are going on the way with him, but a community where prayer is the lifeblood. Prayer is the thing that keeps us connected to God and to each other. It's a powerful thing. And that's really what this passage demonstrates to us. And that's really what we're reflecting on today. I wonder, when you have really good news to share, who do you call? You don't need to answer. It's a rhetorical question. And equally, if you've had some really bad news, something really difficult, sad or painful has happened, who is it you most want to speak to? Hopefully for all of us, there's somebody in our life, family members, friends, other people, that we just have that need or desire to talk to communicate with, to share our life with. And in essence, that is what prayer is. A relationship with Jesus is that opportunity to have somebody who is always available, constantly there. Somebody who truly understands and knows us. And so whether it's because something joyful has happened and we just want to pray and talk to Jesus about it, or whether something difficult, painful or confusing has happened and we just need to hear God's comforting words or wise advice and direction. As human beings, we have that innate need to talk to trusted people and to share with one another in life. To be 100% honest with someone and know that they will still believe in us and that their advice will be helpful and sound. And so if that's a human need we have with one another, how much more so is that powerful in our lives when it's God himself that we talk to? What we see in the life of Jesus is that he did this regularly. He regularly went off up a mountain or in a boat into the middle of the lake, or he took himself away in order to connect and converse with his heavenly Father. And so as the early church, as the apostles and the beginnings in Jerusalem and in Judea and all around Galilee, as they continued to try and follow Jesus' way, follow his footsteps and his pathways, they knew that prayer was essential. And we see that, and this is just one example where Peter and John and some of the others have been preaching about Jesus in the temple, preaching about Jesus in Jerusalem. And this is not very popular. They've been doing healings, they've been doing other bits and pieces, and they've been arrested. The Sanhedrin was the Jewish council, and it was made up of lots of important and powerful, influential Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And they had gathered Peter and John together, and they said, "You must not continue this talking about Jesus. You're causing a disruption in our city. You need to stop it." And of course, the awareness of what had happened to Jesus, which is still quite fresh in their minds. This is only 5 or 6 weeks later, 5 or 6 weeks or thereabouts, after Jesus himself has been crucified and died. And so they know what it is that they are risking when they oppose the Sanhedrin. And so once they've been released, once the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders and authorities, have set them free, having told them, "You must not preach about Jesus," Peter and John go back to the other believers. They share with them. They do this conversing, this talking to people. "This is what's happened. This is what we've been told." And they pray together, because there is power when we come together in prayer, as well as in our personal relationship with God. And they ask God, "You are sovereign over all of these things. You've spoken in the past. And now, as the nations rage and as people plot, there is only one anointed one, Jesus." There's a declaration of faith, both in who Jesus is and a declaration in faith that if they keep doing what Jesus has asked them to do, then his kingdom will come, his truth will advance, his power will continue to bring healing and wholeness. And it is as they pray that the Holy Spirit comes again, giving them energy and boldness and clarity and confidence to go out back into the city, back into a place of danger, back into a place of confrontation, and speak about Jesus with boldness. I don't know about you, but this kind of prayer is both a little bit exciting and wonderful. And I kind of think, I want that kind of prayer life. And at the same time, I think, I'm not sure I do, because actually it's risky. But at the same time, how can we not want this kind of prayer life for ourselves and for our church? And so really, the question is, what kind of prayerful community do we want to be? There's a sense in which the early church, the people of the way, were totally dependent on prayer. This is not the only occasion. Many, many times throughout the book of Acts, they come together to pray. They respond to situations of persecution, of joy, of great celebration with prayer. When they are appointing new leaders in Acts chapter 6, we'll come on to that later in the series, they gather together, they pray, they discern, they ask the Holy Spirit, who is it that's right to send out and to do mission? Who is it that's right to appoint to these important roles of serving the poor or preaching the gospel or doing other things? They pray in every circumstance. And that's got to be true for any church today which wants to be doing kingdom, Jesus-given work. We collectively want to be close to God in order that through prayer and understanding and hearing his voice, we know what it is that God is calling us to do and to be for his kingdom. So how do we be that prayerful community? Firstly, it's got to start with our own personal lives, doesn't it? We have to bring ourselves back in that same way that Peter and John do here, where we're like, this is personal. We need to go up the mountain, onto the lake. We need to set aside time for ourselves so that our own personal prayer lives are the core of our being, the core of where we find our energy, where we get our lifeblood from. It can be hard. I know that prayer is difficult. Sometimes we struggle because we don't know what to say. Sometimes we feel too embarrassed to pray out loud in front of other people. Sometimes we feel really frustrated that we have prayed and we haven't seen the answers, and therefore we stop praying because it's too painful. There are many reasons why prayer becomes something that has to be pushed through, has to be endured, has to be something that we make a habit, regardless of how we feel or what we're fearful of or of the experiences of the past. Peter and John and the others experienced many difficulties, even though they prayed, and so will we. We won't always see the answers to prayer that we've hoped for. But prayer isn't about us asking God and getting everything that we want. It's about a relationship with him that grows as we pray. So we need perhaps to rediscover a life of prayer. Rediscover what it means to be a praying people collectively and personally. So, Harvey's already brilliantly talked us through some of the tools and examples of things that might help us to pray, but let's go through some of those things again. One of the things that most gets in the way of a prayer life that's really meaningful and powerful is our own personalities. Now, I say that in the sense that there was a book that came out a few years ago called Praying with the Grain, and it was about understanding our own personality type, learning style, all of those things. And that some people will find praying in a kind of church setting, kind of like bowing their heads, putting their hands together, that will really help them. For other people, it won't. For some people, going for a walk in the woods, for some people being outside in nature, for some people walking the dog, for some people praying with another person, for some people, it will be something different. We are all very different in our preferences about how we enjoy conversations with other people or prayer times themselves. And so I just want to encourage you to think and to reflect, to talk with God about what is it, what are the prayer times in the past that have been really powerful in your life, the ones where you have really felt deeply connected to God. What was it about those prayer times that helped you the most? If you haven't ever tried different methods of prayer, then have a go at some other things. Ask around, ask in your small group, ask somebody you know from church who might have had different experiences of praying and be able to share with you what they know about. Or, you know, the internet is fairly comprehensive. You can find stuff about prayer all over the place. Look for things that really work for you. What is it that you most enjoy doing? Where is it that you feel most peaceful? And then find ways of drawing your kind of heart and mind towards Jesus in those times and in those places. One of the things that we've felt quite strongly over the last few years at New Hope is a call and an invitation to be more centred on silence. And Amy's been running a half hour or an hour of silence every Monday morning for the last year and a half. And so if you haven't experienced that, or if you haven't joined in with that, maybe you can find a different time if that time doesn't work, or maybe you can join in with that half hour or 1 hour on a Monday morning just to be silent, to lie on the bed, to sit in a chair, to just be quiet. And if you're somewhere where that doesn't work, or if you're the kind of person who finds it really difficult to sit in silence, and I know there are some people who literally it's painful to sit in silence, maybe listen to some worship music or do something else that works for you. But find a way to just be still. That call that we've had for the last year or so to be still and know that God is God. Some of you will have experienced soaking prayer. And again, that similar thing where you just lie down and receive from God and have somebody else pray over you. We've just finished the Lent course looking at eliminating hurry from our lives and slowing down and decluttering and doing all of those things which enable us to have more attention to ourselves and to Jesus. And there's something so important. We spend such a lot of time telling God what we want or what we're thinking or what we're feeling, but actually allowing in a space to listen for him to speak to us as well. Maybe it's 30 minutes where you go for a walk At the weekend, if you can't do Monday mornings, do the weekend. If you can do something else where you just clear out everything and every other voice, every other noise, other things, so that you can be still and hear from God. I don't know about you, but I also find that it's often easier to hear from God for somebody else when I'm praying for them. I find it really difficult to hear God for myself. I don't know if that's an experience for everybody, but particularly when something's happening and I'm like, I really want to know what God's saying, I find it really valuable to get somebody else to pray for me and share with me what they are hearing. And so sometimes it might be that that's a good way to do the listening part of your prayer life. Or, you know, join with somebody else, form a prayer partnership or a prayer triplet or a prayer quad. Bigger than four becomes a little bit cumbersome, but there's a sense in which as we pray for each other and we listen to God for each other, there is something powerful that can be heard, because as we pray for somebody else, we have no agenda in praying for them most of the time. But there's that real sense of being able to hear. And then as we hear from other people, we get confirmation of what God seems to be saying. And so silence and listening are just as important as the actual words that we say if we want a powerful prayer life that will transform our lives and the world around us. So work out your personal preferences, work out how what prayer looks like when it's good, and then pray in that way. And don't feel pressurized that you have to pray a certain way. Prayer is not like that. You do whatever works for you and Jesus, but make sure that there is enough of that listening and silent time or ways of being really attentive to God's part of the conversation as well as your own. One of the other things we see in the book of Acts, and there's a story where Peter has been arrested and he's being held prisoner at a different time than this one. And all the believers are in somebody else's house. They're gathered together to pray. And as they pray and pray and pray that God would work, I don't even know that they were expecting God to work a miracle. They were just gathering to pray, Lord, what are you doing? What do you want to say to us? You know, please protect Peter. Please look after him. Please continue to use him. Whatever it was that they were praying, we don't actually know what their prayers were in that moment. But Peter in prison is suddenly miraculously released. This angel appears and guides him out of the prison. And he arrives at the house where they're all praying and he knocks on the door. And there's a lady called Rhoda, and she comes to the door and she kind of, I don't quite know whether they had a little peephole or whether she just called through the door, and Peter says, it's Peter, God's brought me out of prison. And she's so excited that she doesn't open the door, and Peter's still outside on the other side, and she goes back in and it's like, Peter's been released from prison. And I'm sure that all the other people in there are like, well, are you sure? And she's like, yes, he's the other side. Why haven't you opened the door? But there is this sense in which there's an expectancy about prayer. Were they listening? Was there an expectancy of God doing stuff? Did they know that that was what God was going to do? But the power of prayer sometimes catches us off guard and we're not even really aware or prepared for it. And yet actually the power of it is that God is doing something miraculous and wonderful. And are we attentive to it? Are we ready? Are we listening? Are we expectant? Are we looking for what God is doing? Because, you know, when we pray, God is at work. He is doing stuff. Even if we don't see it, perhaps we're looking in the wrong direction. But God is doing something. Every prayer we pray, like every tear we shed in prayer when something is painful or difficult, none of it is wasted. It is all taken by God and used for his purpose. And if we believe that and we're looking for it and we're attentive and we're listening, then we will see God's powerful work of transformation through our prayer lives. Sometimes prayer takes a long time. There's an interceding over time. The persistent widow, the parable that Jesus tells about this woman who just continually goes to an unjust judge and pleads with him. There are many occasions and many experiences that perhaps some of you have had. I certainly know people and myself who've prayed over many years to see God do something. And you can be discouraged in the time that it takes. But actually there is something deeply powerful about praying for a long time to see God at work. a few years ago, we did a series looking through the book that Paul Miller wrote, which was called A Praying Life. And some of the stuff in that just was very, very transformative for me when I first read it. But again, being reminded of he and his wife praying for more than 20 years for their daughter, who had some severe non-verbal autism. And just their praying for her to be healed for more than 25 years, it shaped them and it shaped their faith, and it transformed their understanding of how God answered their prayers, because they suddenly found, and again, that thing about looking to see what God was doing, not what they wanted him to do, but what God was doing powerfully in and through their daughter. And so sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer, and we do keep praying, we endure, we become more patient, we become more faithful in prayer, we become more attentive to God's voice because we've prayed over a long period of time. So don't begrudge God seeming not to answer our prayers quickly. Sometimes he's doing a much deeper work over time and will lead us into something different in our relationship with him when we intercede for something for a longer period of time. I also wanted just to talk about prayer meetings. Now, I know that that's a real turn-off for some people. Prayer meetings can be something that goes perhaps way down on our list of priorities. Perhaps we don't think that they're especially helpful. Perhaps some of us might think that they're boring. There's a whole range of different responses to that. But prayer meetings are simply a gathering to pray, a gathering to encourage, a gathering to commit ourselves as a whole community to praying for something. And the only reason we plan for them, the only reason that we invite people to come together, is because we believe that praying together is powerful. Now, I've been chatting quite a lot with David Walker about the Kingdom Come prayer meetings that we've had for the last few years. And perhaps there's a time and a season for us as New Hope to have our own form of prayer meeting, our own form of gathering together that focuses a bit more on the things that we feel passionate about or that are relevant to our mission and our engagement with the community. But I would really want to encourage you to think and reflect, to ask God, to talk to each other, to talk in your small groups. What is it about gathering to pray that is important? What is it that perhaps in the past has meant that you've not connected, you've not joined in with that? What are the obstacles? What are the things that haven't been helpful about prayer meetings? And let's draw those thoughts and responses together, and let's work out how can we move into perhaps a new pattern of praying together and joining together for prayer meetings, which we would really be committed to, excited by, and see as a significant part of our church life together. And we'll be talking about that in the next few weeks and months as a staff team and as a New Hope PCC group and other things. But I would love to hear from any of you if you've got things to share about why perhaps prayer meetings don't turn you on, or why it is that different ways of praying in groups together have been helpful or unhelpful for you in the past. But let's really seek God. What does he want to say to us about collective prayer gatherings? I just want to encourage you, we've been doing, and Chrissy shared with us last week about the small group survey and the ways in which that, and I know from my own experience that small group prayer times can be really powerful. We really share personally, we really hear God for each other, and prayer partners, prayer triplets, prayer quads, other things, they could be really effective. And we often go that little bit deeper with those people that we're in a small group with, whatever size or shape that small group takes. It's really, really valuable to have other people who pray with you, pray alongside you, listen and pray. And I want to encourage you that every single conversation you have with other Christians is a prayer, is a conversation which is Jesus is with you, Jesus is in it. Sometimes just in conversation with other people, people Like, I find that God will speak to me as I'm conversing with somebody. I don't have to be sitting with my eyes closed and praying for them to hear God. And so there are so many ways in which the fellowship and just joining together a loving relationship with other people can be something that really is prayerful, even if it's not formal prayer. And so if you are in a small group and perhaps you spend 5 minutes at the end sharing prayer needs and then you don't actually have time to pray, or perhaps, you know, how important is prayer time within your small group? How long do you give it? How much significance does it have? How do we, in each of our contexts, whatever small or smaller group or prayer partnership, whatever that looks like for you, how do we make that really meaningful, powerful and effective? How do we allow Jesus to come in a significant way there? And so just in your small groups, I encourage you this week to talk with each other, to discuss how you might incorporate more prayer into the life and the conversations. And sometimes that's formalized, you're sitting down and actually being structured in the prayer times. And sometimes it's just allowing Jesus into the conversations if it's a more informal setting. But there is something powerful when we pray together that joins us together. There's a deeper sense of belonging to one another and of listening to God. Again, that sense of listening to God for other people can be a really significant thing. And you hear God speak, and when you share what you think God has said, and the person says, well, that ties in with something else, then you know God is speaking to you. And I can't tell you how affirming it is when any time that something I hear or I sense God is saying, and I share it, and I hear that confirmation, yes, that is, you know, it confirms with other things. Such an affirming thing for me, and I'm sure for all of us. And so really, as we reflect on this, as we think about what it means for us to be a prayerful community, let's not only think about the passage and the example of the early church and the way in which Peter and John and others at that time were powerfully, miraculously seeing prayer, and it impacted them to have a boldness, a confidence and a missional stuff. This is the hope, the transformation that we would see in ourselves as well, that we would grow in our relationship with God, knowing how much he loves us, knowing what he's calling us to do and to be, and that we would have more confidence to live that out in everyday life, to be praying for our colleagues, to be listening to God for somebody, a neighbour or a friend or other people, and just to see prayer transforming all of our relationships, transforming us. And so I just want to encourage you, this week especially, as we've talked about it today, to make some space to be alone with God, or to make some space in your small group or your friendships or whatever it is, really make some space to be intentionally seeking God about what does prayer look like in my life personally and in my engagement with my church family. Maybe you can... I love the fact that Susie in the comments on Facebook put that her favourite place to kind of pray and be quiet was in the bath. Because that actually, for me, is one of the things. I find God speaks to me really powerfully when I'm in the shower. And I'm sorry if that's an unhelpful thing for me to share. Partly because there is nothing else. There's no other distractions. All I'm doing is just kind of washing myself. And there's something then about being clear, my mind is clear to hear from God. So find things that work for you. Go somewhere, go for a walk, have an intentional bath or shower where you're talking to Jesus. Change up your routine to make space. Maybe do some soaking prayer where you just lie and listen to worship music, or you just lie in silence, whatever works for you. Do something this week. Make some intentional space to engage with God, either on your own or with other people, to really hear what he's saying to you about prayer. And I really believe this could be very transformational for our life as a church and for us as individuals. So let's finish with a prayer. Lord, we thank you that you so want to speak to us. You really desire to grow in our relationship with you, that you would be able to draw us more into yourself and fill us with more of your blessing through our prayer lives. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would let all of these things sink in, that our hearts would be enriched and open and excited about going deeper with you in prayer. Please, Lord, would you go ahead of us into this week? Would you clear the right space for each and every one of us to just be with you and to sink into our relationship with you? And Lord, would you transform us? Would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you show us the way that we, as a church community, as a church family, can shape our life around prayer, Lord, in a regular routine way and in other more significant moments? Lord, direct us, we pray. Holy Spirit, fill us. Transform us and give us boldness to be your people in everyday life through prayer being that filling up and that refueling. Lord Jesus, we ask in your mighty name. Amen.